البروغرام لسيرة السماء ووامجيو بليلكم بشوء الطيبة تفارسنس فاونديشن.
This is Patricia Camilleri welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm delighted to have with me today on University Matters on Campus FM, Dr. Teresa Vella. I've had the pleasure of following her academic ETER over the years, so I'm pleased to have her in front of me today in the studio. However, today we shall be speaking mostly about her contacts with the Malta Historical Society. Just a few words. I always like to give a few words about my guests. Dr. Vella is a visiting lecturer on Baroque painting with the International Institute of Baroque Studies here at the university, and an art historian with a research interest in the history of art collecting and patronage, as well as the art of landscape painting. Formerly Senior Curator of Fine Arts with Heritage Malta, Dr. Vella is currently engaged as the Museological Consultant for the Palace Regeneration Project. In 2007, she was a member of the Scientific Committee for the exhibition Caravaggio and Masters of Realism in Malta, organised by the Foundation of St. John's Co-Cathedral. Between 2009 and 2012, she read for a PhD in History of Art at the University of Bristol, having submitted her thesis on the paintings of the Order of St. John in Malta, Hospitaller Art Collections and Patronage from the late 15th century to the 18th century. Her first degree as a BA General with the Faculty of Arts here at the University, it was in History of Art and Communication Studies. She graduated in 1994. She followed postgraduate studies with the International Institute of Baroque Studies and submitted her thesis on the Baroque landscape, representations of land between the 16th and 17th centuries. She submitted that in 1999. Well, welcome to you, Teresa.
Good morning.
As I said, today we're going to talk about the Malta Historical Society and its program now for autumn, winter 2014. I think that it's very, very important to note that many of the people involved, as you will tell us, in this program are in fact people who either have worked here before and are retired or are at present working here, some not, of course, but I think it's one of those indications about how the University of Malta's academics affect and enrich the cultural life of Malta.
First of all, thank you for inviting me to your program, Patricia. It's a wonderful occasion to be able to speak about the work of the Malta Historical Society. It's worth mentioning that society was set up in 1950 with the specific aim of promoting the history of Malta, its publication, and in a way safeguarding the historical heritage of Malta as well. And through the years, through the decades, it's been led always by a cohort, a group of people with a strong interest, academic interest, in the writing of Maltese history. And we've seen this wonderful development, this sort of momentum gaining ever since 1950 to the present day of increasing publications and increasing interest even at university level in several fields of history, not just the familiar department of history as we know it, but now the history of science, the history of medicine, even the history of technology. And you may know that the Society organizes a monthly series of lectures. That's when we try to promote the latest research that's coming out, usually by postgrads or the latest publications or so on. But this year presented us with an opportunity we just couldn't miss. This landmark year of the 50th anniversary of independence of Malta, that we realized there's enough length of time that's passed that allows us now to look at the century in a very objective way and observing what changed and what didn't change or what simply developed and grew. The idea now, rather than presenting a single lecture of an hour, we thought of breaking away from the usual formula of historical society and presenting three sessions with 15-minute presentations on different historical themes. So on each evening, we're tackling about five subjects, subjects that deal with, effectively, social history. On the 16th of September, we started with the first session.
Exactly. We should say that this series has already started. Too late for this new series of University Matters, but I think it will be interesting to go back and have a look and see what was talked about.
To give an idea of the nature of the sessions and the variety that we're dealing with, the first session dealt with the developments in archives and libraries, great structural developments that took place not only legally but even in the professionalization of the role of the archivist and librarian, developments in the history of arts, for example, highlighting the role of the modern art group in a way that reflected the growing search for pictorial, a visual identity, if you like, by a group of artists in the 50s and 60s, and on to photography, music, and conservation of art. But this really was kicked off by Professor Henry Frendel's keynote speech. That Professor Frendel set the stage of the, particularly of the political developments that affected so many changes in the lives of Maltese people, especially the structural changes, things that we now take for granted. For example, the novelty of having one's own central bank, the novelty of having one's own airline, and how these changed now the things that Maltese people could actually do and decide their own destiny. We realized as historians that these then had ramifications in different aspects of social life, as I've just mentioned some five topics. But we've got two more sessions coming up on the 22nd of October and on the 13th of November, where we're going to be talking about now environmental conservation, food, architecture, medicine and technology. The third and final session will be dealing with archaeology, law, the history of law, theatre and the performing arts, the history of design, a relatively new subject now in for historians to start grappling with, and Maltese literature. It's fairly eclectic, and there also are themes we would have liked to cover, but, for example, the history of media and broadcasting. But we had to make a choice at the end of the day. I think if we had to mention the various speakers, we'll give a better idea now of, I think, the depth and quality now of the presentations that we're going to be having in the next two sessions. On the 22nd October, the session will be held at San Anton Palace, starting at 6 p.m., and we've invited Dr. Alan Daydoun to talk about the conservation of the environment. I believe Dr. Daydoun is a lecturer here at the university as well, has been for some time, and has also been engaged now with communicating his own findings with the public through the public media, newspapers as well. So I think Dr. Daydoun probably has already a good disposition to be able to speak at several levels, to be able to be understood even by the historical society audience, which has a deep interest in history, is a very well-informed audience, but it tends to be well-informed now in the choices that each individual member of the audience tends to make,
well, whether certainly it's architecture or so on. Dr. Daydoun has been on this program several times, is a typical example of a serious, I hate to use that word, really, a serious academic, but somebody who has taken his knowledge to a high level and who is at the same time very, very concerned with putting across the message to the general public, as you say, at different levels, from children to interested, trying to get the interest of teenagers in a subject which is really going to affect them, actually. I mean, conservation and environment is such a sort of topical buzzword. And interesting to see it placed within the Malta Historical Society, whereas perhaps it wouldn't be the first subject that came to mind, really. So I think here you've gathered the ethos of this kind of program.
Another interesting topic that we're going to be presenting is the history of food and wine in the 20th century. And for this, we've got Noel Buttigieg, who's actually just concluded his PhD studies at the University of Malta, but Noel has been researching the history of food, particularly bread, as part of his PhD studies, and he's got an academic perspective now on the history of food, especially in the 20th century. By the way, I should add, we haven't yet heard what each speaker is going to be presenting, but we simply gave the brief of, we would like you to present the history of developments in your particular area of expertise before independence and after, and plotting, mapping out the changes that took place. So it's a very wide brief.
And I'm sure everyone's hoping that he's going to bring some stuff with him. Both yes. The bread and possibly and also some wine for afterwards.
Then we've got Professor Konrad Thick, who's going to be dealing with the history of 20th century architecture in Malta.
This is a bit of a thorny issue, isn't it?
It's a thorny issue, but I'm hoping he'll talk about an area he's specialised in, which is a modernist architecture and the poor press it's been given and how it really deserves to be reassessed and reappreciated in our own time. Then we've got the history of medicine being presented by the dentist, really, Professor George Camilleri. We're rather grateful to Professor Camilleri for having extended his area of research into the broader history of medicine. But he understands the ethos of the Historical Society very clearly. He's one of our regular attendants in the audience at our lectures, so we believe he'll be giving a very interesting and animated lecture himself, too.
Yes, he's so dedicated to research, really, Professor Camilleri, and I always find him an amazing font of information. Every time I have a conversation with him, you know, I come out having learned something, really.
So, yes.
And in an area which is not my own at all, of course, neither dentistry nor medicine, but he's always got something very, very significant to say about the subject.
Yes. And finally, on the 22nd of October, we'll have Professor Robert Ghirlando, who's presenting the history of technology. And again, that's one area we tend not to think of in terms of history. But in effect, there's so much social change that was brought about not only by the advances in engineering and roads, for example, but even the advances in ICT, information technology and so on, as we're well familiar with today.
And in Malta, there's a lot of industrial archaeology that needs to be kept, really,
yes.
If we're going to continue to have a memory
yes.
of this kind of things. I know that Professor Ghirlando I've heard him speak on the subject before with great enthusiasm, and sometimes he's shown slides of things, my goodness, is that Malta? are there still these things
yes.
tucked away in tunnels and,
yes.
and other places like
yes.
that? So
precisely.
And it's something that needs to be nurtured. One of my soapboxes that I get on when I have the opportunity to speak to anybody who's got any influence in
yes.
That area of museum development. I always think that a museum of technological advances should really be taken up, because it shows and reflects, as I'm sure was the intention when you asked him to do this lecture, the history, what's going on as the technical development, how they have shaped history. I mean, there's so
yes.
much behind that machinery, so to speak,
yes.
which is considered mostly dismissed as day-to-day stuff,
yes.
and yet there's so much there of interest.
Yes.
I hope that I really would like to come and listen to that one in particular.
It's rather sobering in a way that the past few decades that we've lived are presented as history by the Historical Society. It's as though where we would like to foreground how even the 20th century itself can be regarded as history, and how the material evidence of the time, the social practices of the time, the ethnographic developments that we can now start seeing from a bit of a distance of the time have really shaped a century that is effectively over.
We have a very small room at the new Faculty of Information and Communication Technology, and in one of the rooms there is a little museum of computers. And I've been working full-time now for nearly 23 or 24 years, and I can look at myself at these computers and see how different the ones
yes.
were that I used in 1991
yes.
to the one that I'm using now. And you can see the development of such just a few of the ones, mostly the ones we've used ourselves in
yes.
the university.
Yes.
But it's like, you can see that the history angle, it's been like concertinaed into this last 50 years, especially when it comes to something like computers, that has so much changed the way we act, the way we communicate, the way what we do, how we store. I mean, these are
yes.
all
yes.
aspects. And you can, in that room, you've got these 50 years, whereas things might have remained in the past more or less the same. I mean, that's a generalizing way of
yes.
putting it, but sound more or less the same for many years. And now with IT
yes.
technology, of course,
yes.
it's taken
yes.
much less time to
yes.
get further, so to
yes.
speak.
Well, really, Patricia, all these are aspects that show how the Maltese people, in their different areas of activity and practice, have generated, if you like, or sought out those tools that's then enabled people to do things better, quicker, faster, more efficiently, more happily. And that has led, therefore, to the growth of a nation and a self-identity itself, the choices we make or the things we leave behind and choose not to make. That is really what has formed us as individuals, of course, but collectively we can see the trends and patterns that have led to why we take the decisions we take today. As I've mentioned, the five speakers in the second session, that's really the session where we've got the most academic presence, because really all three sessions are a combination of speakers who are either practitioners. For example, when the presentation on music last on the 16th of September was given by Andrew Alamango, who recently has returned to university to carry on his studies, but for several years he was out there actively promoting ethnic Maltese music as a musician himself. Photography was dealt with by Daniel Cilia, who is one of our foremost photographers today, particularly in editorial photography in the field of publishing. And his presentation was a pictorial glance at the decades. Daniel presented a case of two different books, one published before independence and one published just a few years after independence. And simply by highlighting two books that stood maybe a span of 15 years apart, but with the crucial field of independence in the middle, 1964, he showed how the way photographers saw Malta or chose to frame Malta, the compositions that were chosen, how they shifted. In the first instance, the 1950s book was a more pictorial, more artistic type of photography, whereas the post-1964 book was more about now Malta shaping itself, giving itself a pictorial identity that was geared towards development, particularly in the Malta for tourism, the Malta for industrial development, and so on. So within the space of a decade, or just a bit more than a decade, you see this effectively revolution in the way we pictured ourselves. So just to go back to my original point, was that we're seeing a mix of presentations by people coming from the field, the practice itself, to people who have dedicated their lives now to the academic study of their respective field. Perhaps I should mention now the third and final session.
Yes, please do. I'm absolutely fascinated. That looks really just up my street, some of these things.
Yes. Well, the final session is going to take place on 13th November, and that's taking place at the Mediterranean Conference Center as part of the National Book Fair. By the way, I should add, we've had wonderful support in the sponsorship of the Farsons Foundation for this whole series, and even the National Book Fair, the Book Council, has supported us with even the third session itself. I should add also that this is also taking place under the auspices of Her Excellency the President, Marluise Colero-Preca, which is giving a national dimension, if you like, to our effort as a society, which is ultimately a non-governmental organization. But back to the final session of the 13th of November, we're going to be talking about archaeology, the developments in archaeology, not 20th century archaeology, but the developments in archaeological practice in the 20th century, the history of law, the history of theatre and the performing arts, the Renaissance in Maltese theatre especially,
sure
that occurred in the 60s.
I'm sure there was a big difference at that
exactly.
point, using the independence as a marker. I'm sure that
yes.
Professor Cremona will be able to give us pre and post approach to that.
Yes. We're also going to be presented with developments in Maltese literature, and a new subject on the agenda of history is design, industrial design. As we know, several students have been graduating from the Institute of Art and Design and now finding their way into society and starting to make a difference. It's actually been occurring over a few decades, but there actually is a longer history of design if you want to look at Maltese cabinet making, even going back to the 17th century. So it's not really such a new subject. It's certainly new, though, in terms of academic interest and academic focus. So in this way, we hope that with the topics we're foregrounding, perhaps encouraging now more academic and studies taking place, and at least sort of mapping out what has taken place and then hopefully then interpreting it. The speakers we have for the third session are also university lecturers and professors. Archaeology is going to be dealt with by Dr. Ruben Grima, who's got long several years of practice at the Museum of Archaeology, but more recently now he's consolidated his academic role and is now full-time at the University of Malta within the Faculty of the Built Environment. The history of law is going to be tackled by Professor David Attard, and we're rather grateful to Professor Attard for making the time to be able to join us in November. Theatre and the Performing Arts. Vicky Ann Cremona is a dedicated practitioner, but even historian. Of theatre especially, and now as the head of the School of Performing Arts, we think she's the ideal person to present this broad perspective on the history of theatre and the performing arts. Maltese literature, we've got Dr. Adrian Grima, who we know has only just recently been promoting a festival of literature, and does this quite regularly, promoting public readings of poetry and even active in the field of translating of Maltese writings into other languages and vice versa. And the fifth subject is that by Stephen Vella. Stephen, which the fifth subject of design, is going to be presented by the head of the Art and Design Institute. Again, we felt that Mr. Vella was in the best position to see this overarching view of the different fields of design now that have grown into professional activity, looking at fashion design, interior design, furniture design, 3D design and media, the moving image, for example. So web design, for example, things we take for granted as being a phenomenon of today, but there is a history to that. And in their own way, as with the topics we've dealt with in the first session and we'll be dealing with also in the second session, they're all now very focused views onto those aspects, those pockets of activity, professional activity, if you like, that the Maltese people have engaged with over the last 50 years.
One of the things that has really kept the Malta Historical Society at this very high level, apart from, you know, I can think of past presidents, I'm trying to find a list here. I mean, at the moment there's Judge Giovanni Bonello who is the president, but in the past there's been Dr. Albert Gannardo, Professor Vincent Borge, Stanley Fiorini, Gottfried Wettinger, Professor Mario Bohaja. These are all past presidents who have always been of a certain high standard. One of the things that's really kept that high standard is your publications, of course. So I think one of the things that sometimes disappoints me here at the university is that we get these extremely good speakers, and because of either lack of resources or whatever, we don't manage to film them. And this is something that my office is trying to change now very much. However, sometimes they're like ships in the night. Mm-hmm. They come, everyone enjoys their day, and then they disappear. In your case, you've always kept to a regular publication.
Yes.
And perhaps, hopefully, these will also find their way.
That's the plan, that we'll have the next issue of the Melita Historica journal, the one to be published in 2014, that will present all these papers. It's probably going to be a bit of a bumper issue, but it's going to be in itself, I think, quite a memento, a moment in time where we've looked back on ourselves, on our living history, and reassessed it. Several authors, of course, several of the speakers are referring to longer publications where they've dealt with their respective subject. I should remind, by the way, these presentations are going to be 15 minutes long, which is a fair bit of discipline for the speakers to be able to condense everything.
More difficult than half an hour.
Indeed. To condense everything that there is to say. But as we've observed in the first session, it therefore ensures that overarching overview, seeing the bigger picture, a bit of the long durée in Brodelian terms, although I have to apologize for abusing that phrase, really. But rather than focusing on the detail, on the lists of what happened, one thing after the other, we're seeing now change over several years. And I should thank the speakers of the first session for keeping to their schedule to the time frame very rigorously, very ably chaired by Dr. Joanna Bella, if you'd add. And
it's always a secret.
It's always a secret. But yes, we've also told the speakers that there's a bit of leeway now with the length of papers that they can present. So, of course, the papers are bound to have references to other publications that deal in greater length with their respective topic. But yes, the Historical Society has been rigorous in its publications. Its annual Melita Historica, which, by the way, is online. People can look up those essays on the website of the Malta Historical Society. The website is www.maltahistory.eu. And there you'll find all the papers. We know they've been very helpful to students at the University of Malta covering history in any subject. I must say I found that useful myself in my undergraduate days. And there's also the biannual proceedings of History Week and other periodic publications that, again, we'll find listed on the website.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Teresa Bella, for coming to talk to us on University Matters on Campus FM about this series of the Malta Historical Society coming up on Wednesday, 22nd October at St. Anton Palace at Balzano. And also another time at 6 o'clock on Thursday, 13th November. That will be at the Sala Temizamid at the Sagra Infermeria Valletta.
Yes, the MCC.
Get that straight. Is this open to just members or to anybody?
Of course. No, this is open to the public. It's free of charge. And we're also offering drinks afterwards, after each event, because, again, this was a fairly recent innovation of the Historical Society. The fun about history is that you can then get to talk about it afterwards. So after presentations, we'll be having refreshments, yes.
That's jolly good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patricia.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.